All right. Will you pray with me as we get started this morning? Gracious Father, again, just thank you for who you are, that you chose different people, random people that seem like unworthy people, it seemed like, to allow your world, this world, to be changed through you and through them. And I feel like I'm in that category of unwanted, unchosen, unqualified people as well, but I just pray that you will speak this morning to all of us. Give us words that we need to hear. Help us to be uplifted and encouraged through this time as well, Lord. And just pray that anything that I may say is that doesn't fit into your plan, just allow it to fall on the floor and not be heard by anyone. But we just pray for your spirit to speak to us as well. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start this morning with, I believe these are all tweets. And so they're going to be messages that share a certain amount of frustration or worry or anxiety about people in our culture. So you may or may not relate to some of them. So the first one is, this: someone posted this and said, I put too much balsamic vinegar on my salad and now I'm dying. So I don't put balsamic vinegar on mine very much, but I don't know that it would kill you. Maybe it would. Another tweet was, I had a cup of tea with soy milk. It was one of the worst decisions I've ever made in my life. And I may agree with that one. This one's a tough one. Had to had to turn down the brightness on my iPad because it hurt my eyes. That's a very rough problem to have. This one I like. This one I can agree with, though. So sick of and tired of Apple products. And I would agree with that. Just be done with them and that kind of stuff. Apple this, iPod this, everything. So this one I don't know if any of us can relate to, but I think it definitely is a first world problem. Everyone here has a Beamer, Lexus, Mercedes, or Range Rover, staring down at me in my Jeep because they know I don't belong. And I would love to have a Jeep. I feel like that is pretty up there in terms of all these things. This one's a rough one. This one I don't have a problem with. My wallet is too small. I don't know, maybe some of you guys might have that problem. I don't know what this one means exactly, but it sounds awful. No fennel left at the deli. Disaster. I don't know. That sounds rough, I guess. I don't know. This one may not make a lot of sense, but I just think it points to our culture so perfectly. It says this: Q Salisbury's salad bar for 15 minutes to find they had no egg or couscous. To say this ruined my day would be an understatement. And I don't know what that means exactly, but it sounds really awful to not to be at a salad bar and not have any egg and not have couscous would be rough. This one I might relate to a little bit more. I have a paper cut on my iPad finger. Every tweet is an agony, but I persist bravely. It's rough when you can't touch your screen because you have a paper cut or something on your. Yeah. And this one, again, some of you might relate to this one. This one's not for me, but I can't believe I bought a toaster with no bagel setting. Does anybody have bagel settings on their toaster? No? Okay. It's rough. Rough life to have those things. All right. So the reason I started with those, and some of those didn't relate to us at all, I realized that. And again, if you have a bagel setting on your toaster, God bless you. we have a very different perspective on problems than a lot of the rest of the world. Complaining about wallet size or complaining about, there's too many Apple products. Having a paper cut and then we can't mess around with our technology. And there's so many. It's just our perspective on our problems is just, it's just off in a lot of ways, I think, compared to the rest of the world, especially when we look at some of the natural disasters, the things that all these other countries, other people deal with, and the fact that people are trying to get out of their country to find something better. Just, again, puts it in perspective of what is a first world, what is a first world problem like this, compared to what's maybe a little bit more real and authentic of a problem. And I think that's really ultimately what Jesus gets to this morning, is that we really need to make sure we're paying attention to focus on not what we perceive, and a perception is reality, I get that, but not that reality, maybe there's more reality than we really perceive sometimes. And so finding a way to adjust our perspective is an important part of our life. And really what we've been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 Matthew 6 here lately and going into Matthew 7 next week really, I think, emphasizes that of what is the world we live in? What is the dynamic of the way we interact with the world? And what Jesus presents in the Sermon on the Mount is so unique and so different and so dynamically contrasting to the rest of our world that his culture that he presents, this culture of a kingdom, should look nothing like any other culture or a kingdom that we look at in this world. It's very different than the American culture. It's very different from the Haitian culture, or the Chinese culture, the Vietnamese culture, the South African culture, the Indian culture, and it should look different. As followers of Jesus, those that live in God's kingdom, should have a completely different culture. And so, but when we do, and when we live that out, and when it shows up, God's kingdom can then show up as well. And so there's kind of a dynamic where there's a pressure to it, but there's also just this beautiful reality of when we can live out God's kingdom, that his world and his kingdom can show up in a unique and even powerful way. And I think we'll see that again more this morning as we, again, jump into Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bible, the Bible app, there are a few Bibles sitting in the back there. If you want to get up and go ahead and grab one to follow along. But Matthew 6, we're going to look at the last part of that chapter in verses 25 through 34. And we're gonna analyze and look at what God's kingdom looks like. But again, it needs to look different than the rest of our world because God's kingdom isn't a part of this world in a lot of ways. You know, when we look at our culture, and we looked at this last week when we talked about this idea that we need God, we realize our need for God. We start to realize how broken and messed up this world is. And that when Jesus steps into the pages of history and says, okay, this is what it should look like, when we can live that out, when we can see it and interact in our world the way that Jesus presents for us, things start to look very different and things can maybe then start to change. But the nature of our world, the nature of our existence right now is just so broken and because of sin and sin nature that we take purpose and intent to live out what Jesus is asking. Okay, and I guess I emphasize this because I so easily get just going through life and I just kind of coast, right? It's just, I've got things, my ducks feel like they're in the same pond at least right now, right? They may not be in the row yet, but they're getting together a little bit. And then it just feels like things just kind of float. And so it's so important for us, though, to continue to be purposeful and to be intentional about how we're living in order for God's kingdom to be more fully in this world. All right. With that in mind, we're going to jump into, again, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse, 24, I think. What Jesus is going to talk about is this idea of worry and anxiety. And I just want to start, kind of preface what he's going to talk about a little bit by saying that anxiety and worry are emotions that we're all going to have at times. And what Jesus is going to say, and I'll talk about this more at the end as well, but what Jesus is going to say, he's not saying don't have these emotions and don't feel these things, because those things, that's a little bit outside of our control, right? If you could control your emotions all the time, 100% of the time, I don't think you're human. I don't think that's possible to say, I'm not going to be angry, but that anger's there, and so you have to do something with it. And so more Jesus is saying, okay, what are we going to do with this when that comes into play? And so that's, and again, we'll talk about that more as we close this morning. So, jumping to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 24, Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and your body, and the body more than clothing?" And so Jesus starts out by saying, "Therefore." And whenever there's a therefore, that means there's something before that is being drawn into this context. And so I know it's been a couple of weeks, but a couple of weeks ago we talked about how Jesus was talking about possessions and money and resources and wealth ultimately. And he made this contrast. He said, okay, you need to choose God, or you need to choose this God called Mammon. He's going to call Mammon, this made-up deity that's personification of possessions and money and those kind of things. And so Jesus is saying, pick one. You got to pick one because you can't sit on the fence, right? You're either going to, if you try to say, well, I'm mostly going to pick God, but I'm also going to kind of like my stuff and my, you know, my wealth, and I like having money. But he says, no, you have to pick one, because whatever you pick is going to kind of dictate the rest of where you're at and what you're doing and the rest of your choices. And so when Jesus says, therefore, he says, okay, keep in mind all of these things. Keep in mind this contrast between God and Mammon. Keep in mind that what's your possessions and your wealth and your money and what your bank account and all these kinds of things you have, Keep in mind all of those things as well as we talk about this next part, because really what happens is that our emotions are going to be tied up into what we own and what we possess and the financial aspects of our life. I was thinking, and I don't know, you don't have to raise your hand for this, but if I, and I, my kids are a little older, so if I sent my kids to your house, they'd probably be okay for the most part. But when they were in their, you know, preschool, toddler ages, if I told you I'm going to send my five kids that are preschoolers and toddlers to your house, how many would have a little bit of anxiety? A little bit. What kind of a mess are they going to make? What are they going to break, right? What are they going to get into? Maybe a certain amount of anxiety of, are they going to hurt themselves, depending upon what your house looks like? I don't know. But when it comes to our stuff, our anxiety level increases because of our worry about it a lot of times. And I just was thinking, there's a couple I know, older couple. We would go to their house when my kids were little, and there was this room in their house that was set up where we couldn't gate it off, right? And we couldn't, we had to set up, I think what we do, like set up totes or something in this hallway so they couldn't get back there into this area, because there was a lot of knickknacks, and there was, a, you know, I think a guitar or something sitting back there, and TV and that kind of stuff they didn't want, you know, the kids getting into. And the owner, you know, the couple got a lot of anxiety when we were there, worried about what their, what was going to happen to their stuff. And I get that. I mean, it's hard, you know, when you have kids to know what they're going to do, you know, from one minute to the next and what they're going to get into. But there's, it's so, it's also tied to what Jesus is talking about. When our stuff and our things and our, we get so worked up about our possessions and our money that there's a lot more anxiety and worry that comes with it too. And I was thinking this too with my kids. There's a rule, one of the main rules that we've developed in terms of that, this context, is you cannot wrestle or throw things in the living room, the upstairs living room. I always tell them, you need to go downstairs. You do whatever you want downstairs. If I don't know about it and nothing gets broke, we're okay. Because in the living room is my big 55-inch screen TV. And in a month, well, probably 2 months, I had to replace it twice. And so after after the second time, or the third TV I bought in 3 months, I said, we're not going to do this anymore. So, right, but that kind of goes back to this idea of we worry about our stuff, and that anxiety and that tension raises as well. And so Jesus keeps that in mind here for us as well when he says, therefore. But at the same time, Jesus isn't talking about TVs. And Jesus isn't talking about, like, fine china. He's not talking about collectibles or things that are going to break. He's talking about food. He's talking about water. And he's talking about clothes. He's talking about these things that are basic and essential in life, these things that all of us need in order to be able to survive. And so the question, and we should kind of pause and say, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense, Jesus. Shouldn't I be worried about things that I need to survive? Shouldn't I be worried about where I can I provide food for my family? Can I make sure I have a, you know, the meal tomorrow, or you know, what I'm going to eat in a couple days? Shouldn't I be a little concerned and worried about that? And just imagine, I mean, in our context, it's maybe bad enough. Our context is more, well, I don't, it's not so much that I'll have food tomorrow, but what am I going to make tomorrow more than anything, I guess? Or how am I, you know, how, what am I going to make that my kids won't complain about too much? Because they're going to complain. It's just, it depends on what the level of complaint is. And so our culture is a lot different because we do have resources. We do have things available to us. There's, if even if nothing else, right, even if everything else falls apart, you know, the government in our country will provide us with what we need to get food and clothing and those kind of things. But in Jesus' culture, that wouldn't have been the case, right? So when Jesus says something like, don't worry about food or clothing or those kind of things, that would have been really striking to them, right? Because they depended so much upon, there were so many things outside of their control to provide just even their basic essentials. Right, especially in an agrarian culture, a culture that, you know, didn't have a lot of resources necessarily where Jesus was at, they're going to be worried about, well, am I going to, is my crop going to come up, right? Isn't, you know, am I going to have a plague, or no, not a plague necessarily, but locusts or insects or something happen to my crops or to the, you know, or is it going to produce? And there's just so much out of their control. That control was a big part of what Jesus is talking about here too. You know, I was thinking about my garden, and you know, I can plant it, and I can water it, and I can say I'm going to go weed it, and maybe eventually weed it at some point, and I can take care of it as much as I possibly can, but I'm ultimately not in control of whether it comes up. I'm not in control, and even if it grows and it looks like a great plant, I'm not in charge of whether it's going to, you know, produce me fruit and, or you know, tomatoes or peppers or whatever I'm planting. You know, there's just so many things outside of our control. And when Jesus is saying this, you can't worry, you just shouldn't worry about it. That's just kind of crazy. Because how can I not worry about it? Because it's outside of my control. I can't do anything about that other than, you know, I can plan and I can do the, you know, basic things. But in the end result is really out of my control. And that's the world that Jesus is speaking into. So to say don't worry about it, that just seems so counterintuitive. Well, of course I'm going to worry about it. I need to be able to eat. I need to be able to provide, you know, food for my family and my kids and those around me. But then Jesus goes on, verses 26 through 30, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Of more value than they? Of which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? He goes on and he says, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And here Jesus is talking about perspective. He's saying keep perspective. I would like to imagine, and I don't like to speak for Jesus too often, even though I probably do it too often, is if the people in Jesus' time were a little more understood the idea of global and, you know, being globally minded, I think he probably could have used the example of, well, look around the rest of the world, right? Just notice where you're at, especially us as Americans living in the, you know, Western culture. Look at what you have and where you're at. And then I want you to look at the people of Haiti. And then I want you to look at the people of India. And I want you to look at the people of Afghanistan. I want you to look around the world and I want you to notice that I'm taking care of them. And so maybe your problems, the things that you're dealing with, as important as they may be, maybe need to be put into a certain perspective. The things that we struggle with, the things that we deal with, the things that we feel we need to have, or those kinds of things, those first world problems, my wallet's too small, they didn't have couscous at my salad, my day is ruined, right, for my salad. Maybe there needs to be a certain amount of perspective. Understanding, well, and again, he doesn't use people as other examples, he uses people in comparison to creation and says, look at the birds, right, they're taken care of. Look at the flowers, look at the lilies, look at the plants around you. They're taken care of. They're able to survive. They're able to do what they need to do. In fact, they not just are able to do what they're able to do. You know, Jesus even says they're more beautiful than anything that any human has ever had, right? He compares Solomon to these flowers. And it's just so important to realize, you know, the fragile, transient nature of birds and flowers in comparison to people, in comparison to humanity, is just such a stark contrast. And God, Jesus is saying, you know, I'm taking care of this end. Maybe you just trust that I take care of your end as well. And again, I think it's important to note that Jesus isn't saying the birds shouldn't do anything, right? And he's not saying the flowers shouldn't do anything. Right, he's assuming, and I think we should assume that, you know, these flowers, these birds are doing something. They're maybe not, they're not toiling and those kind of things, but they are doing the things that they're supposed to do. Right? God, Jesus doesn't say, nope, the birds, you guys don't make any nests, you guys don't go and, you know, collect your food or do anything like that. I'm just going to do everything for you. And so there's not this idea of, you know, laziness or not doing anything or being a, you know, just letting God take care of everything. He's saying, I think what he's saying and implying here is, you know, there's expectations for what you are supposed to do, but just know how far that goes, right? He's called each and every single one of us to do certain things and to live a certain way, but he's not saying go away and above and beyond that, or the things that are above and beyond that that are outside of your control, those are the things that end up getting us in trouble. And he goes on to say in verse 31 and 32, he says, Therefore, do not be anxious by saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And to me, that summarizes so much of our lives, so many things that we deal with, so many thoughts that we have, so many worries, anxieties, just even the day-to-day kind of things. This really summarizes all of it. So just don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Don't question or wonder all of these kinds of things, because he calls God one thing, and he calls him Father. And again, I think that's such an important word that I think I've talked about every week that we've talked about this, that God, Jesus uses that word Father, because that's such an important word, especially in a culture, in a world that more and more it feels like is pushing God out of our lives and out of the picture. To know the type of God that we have is so important. That he's not a God who came into this, created the world and just kind of let it go and say, okay, you're on your own, right? He's not a God who created the world and is kind of watching to see how everything plays out. It's not like reality TV, It'd be fun to consider the world as God's reality TV, I guess, maybe. But, and God's also not the type of God who just, created the world and this is a view held by some, is he's not, overbearing and not pushing, not attacking or not punishing even necessarily people to see how he can torture them, right? Like he's some evil, demonic kind of God, but he's a God that's a Father. And just this beautiful image of his love and his care and his compassion and his desire to give us all of humanity and really all of creation the best that he can, that we can have. And so when we look at him and step back and say, okay, if God truly is Father, if he truly is a loving, caring, compassionate deity that wants to be involved in our life, wants to give us the things that we desire and the things that we need, then we need to maybe step back and get that perspective, to get that idea, to get that sense of, well, what do I need to maybe let go of? Because God is wanting something better for me. And so in the end, I think it comes down to, again, that idea of perspective and control. Again, if God is this heavenly, wonderful Father, then we need to allow that out of certain things to be out of our control. Really, it's not so much letting things out of our control as much as it is saying, I don't really have that much control to begin with. Right? And more we understand that, the more and more we accept that, the more and more we're able to let go of things that burden us and weary us and bring us a certain amount of discomfort. And again, even going back to the things that are the most important, even the daily food, even the food that, the things that we need to survive, the clothes and the water and the things like that, he says, don't even worry about those. Because there are so many more important things in life. And I always imagine, or I always kind of imagine, of who God is and what he wants to provide for us. And when I think of these, or when I look at this and I think of the people listening to Jesus, I can't help but wonder if they don't remember their own history and the things that they experienced, the things that they went through when they were brought out of Egypt. And the people of Israel being led by Moses, being brought out of the nation of Egypt, being brought into this wilderness, one of the first things they did was they just started complaining, right? We don't have food. We don't have the things we need. We don't have the basic essential things to survive. And any of us would do the same thing, right? I probably would have started complaining, as we're walking up to the Red Sea, even before we got across it, because I like to eat. And so, they start complaining and whining, well, how are we going to survive? You need to provide us with something. And so God sent down manna for the people to survive. And for 40 years, they survived by eating this manna to eat, and the things that they, this mysterious kind of food that they had. And so God provided them this manna and said, okay, you needed something. This is what you guys get. And so I like to assume that when Jesus is talking about this anxiety and this worry about not worrying about these basic things in life, they are going back to this story of the manna that is provided for them. And when Jesus says, don't worry about that, there's more important things. They have to start to wonder what that means. Which brings us to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses reminds the people of that experience, and he says, and God humbled them. God humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Just as God provided the people with man in the desert, and as important as that was, and as essential as that was, Moses reminds them that it's more than just the manna that I provide for you that's important, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And we know that from Jesus saying that to Satan, right? When Satan was tempting him in the wilderness and telling him to turn this rock into bread after 40 days of not eating, Jesus says, well, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Which is almost exactly what Jesus says at the end of Matthew 6 in verses 33 through 34. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. And again, looking back last week, when you choose between God and mammon, God and money, God and possessions, everything else kind of falls into place. Well, the same thing here. When we seek God first, his kingdom first, how he wants us to live, the world that he put in, that he is our father, that he is our king. When we do that first, when we seek his truth, that words that come from his mouth, everything else can fall into place. It's that idea, again, of perspective. But then also the idea of righteousness, of doing things the way that God has asked us to do. It's the way that Jesus has explained to us the kingdom and how that works and how we live in it. That righteousness and the way we chose to live falls into place as well. So it's that perspective along with that control and allowing God to use us and to do the things that he desires through us. And so when we look at this idea of anxiety and worry, and I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but with how much anxiety and worry I have, I feel like there are days I'm an expert. But again, that emotion is so strong sometimes. In fact, it can be often debilitating. And if you read my article this week, I talk about my week from a couple weeks ago about dealing with a certain amount of anxiety. And I don't know where it comes from sometimes, and I don't know why I have so much of it at times. But again, I don't think Jesus is saying here, don't ever have it, because I don't think we can control when we get hit by especially a heavy dose of anxiety or worry or even depression. But what he's saying is that when we put our perspective, when we change the way we look at the control we have in our world, then that anxiety shifts as well. And especially going back to what he talks about with possessions and money, well, if you have junkier stuff, you're not going to be as worried about it, right? I know that about vehicles. That's one reason I'm always going to buy old, junkier vehicles, is because then I don't have to worry about it as much. You know, if it falls apart or someone, crashes it or takes a key and, keys it all the way up it or something like that, I'm not going to worry about it as much as my 2022 now, Chevy Corvette. Right? And so having a certain amount of nice things and stuff is a part of this as well, but our love and our care and our concern for our possessions is directly tied to anxiety, as well as anything else in this world, and our care and our concern for the things of this world, including maybe jobs or even certain relationships and certain dynamics, is when we let go of a certain amount of control of those things and care for them and even love for them or ownership, I guess it's probably, but ownership of them, then that anxiety can lessen in that way as well. And just, again, knowing and trusting that, in the end of the day, God's got this under control makes a huge difference as well. And so we can do all these things and try to lessen our anxiety, but even when it hits us, what do we do with it then as well? And I think Jesus is talking to that specifically here as well, and saying, okay, remember, what's our perspective? What are we in charge of? What are we in control of? And allowing God to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. Henry Nouwen, as we close this morning, Henry Nouwen says this. Sorry, wrong one. He says, the words of Jesus, set your hearts on God's kingdom first, and all these things will be given to you as well. summarize best the way we are called to live our lives. With our hearts set on God's kingdom, that kingdom is not some faraway land that we hope to reach, nor is it life after death or some ideal state of affairs. It says, no, God's kingdom is, first of all, the active presence of God's Spirit within us, offering us the freedom we truly desire. And so we might ask, how do we set our hearts on the kingdom first when our hearts are often preoccupied with so many things? Somehow a radical change of heart is required. A change that allows us to experience the reality of our existence from God's place. And for me, a practice that I've shared with you guys before, but something that I try to do on a regular basis, especially in those moments where I feel like I'm overwhelmed by anxiety or worry or things in my world, is I ask the question, what if? And it's a counseling practice where you just allow yourself to go down the rabbit hole. Well, what if this happened? What if the worst case scenario came up and this happened? What if? And you ask that what if question, you go down that rabbit hole of how awful things could be in the world and how often awful something could be. You know, if you lost your job, couldn't pay your bills, and you got kicked out of your house, and you know, we're living on the street, and all these kind of awful things that could happen. And you allow yourself that opportunity to go down that rabbit hole. But at the end of that rabbit hole, what do we find? And for us as Jesus followers, we see Jesus, who is King of Kings, who is Lord of Lords, who is going to be sitting on his throne. So no matter what we might be worried about, no matter what we might be dealing with, when we trust that God is going to take care of it, when we trust that Jesus has died for our sins and he is that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, then that perspective and that control can be all directed towards him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are so thankful that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you have given us that perspective, that you have given us that truth, that we can just let go of certain things, that we don't have to be caught up in the worry and the anxiety, and we can allow you to step in and to say, okay, even the basic essential things in life aren't all that important because there are more important things. Your kingdom, your righteousness, your truth, and life with you are so much more important than anything that we can have or need in this world. I pray that you help us to remember that, you lead and guide and direct us more towards that, and you allow us to just know how much you love us. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team can come on up.